Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your touch from heaven right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. When all is said and done, this is all that matters. Thank you. Thank you for your holy invasion right now. Thank you for the invasion of your kingdom right now in my body, in my mind, my circumstances, in my life. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Keep coming, Lord. Keep coming, Holy Spirit. Lord, this is our decree. This is our holy decree from our hearts, oh God. In the midst of tough times, in the midst of circumstances, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But Lord, we know that you hold the future. We know that you're the Holy One who rides on a white horse with fiery eyes, who's coming again. We thank you, oh God. There is nothing impossible with you. We thank you, Lord, that we are harnessed to you. We are tethered to you. We are intertwined with your heart and with your love. Thank you. Thank you for your fiery, fiery blast right now moving through this place. Touch everyone. Every heart. Every body. Thank you for divine intervention right now. Where heaven meets, comes to earth right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Touch the little ones. Touch the tiny ones in our presence. Touch the babies in the womb. Here and for those who couldn't be here. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. We just lean into what you're saying and doing right now. Anybody who's had trouble walking for whatever reason, maybe your foot, your leg, your spine, I don't know. I just see people walking. Just move about. Move where you are. There's a change right now taking place in your body. Just move around. If you had a pain or an ailment or even a disease that's been spoken to you, spoken over you, just move around. Just take a minute. Move out of your chairs or move in the front. Move around. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just touching the bones right now. See, I see a fusion of bones coming together. Where there's been a problem with your cartilage, I hear the word cartilage, the Lord is restoring and he's replacing. Whether it's in your knee, your leg, foot, just move around. Move your limbs. From your torso down, just move. Come on, make that effort. Move. Who's experiencing a shift, even a little one, is a big one because it's a touch from heaven. Just wave your hand in the air. Yeah, come on. Okay, if you're feeling that shift at all, just come on down. Just come towards me. Don't be shy. Come on, keep walking. That's it. Keep moving. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just keep releasing, oh God. Here, sweetie. Help him down. So what are you feeling? Huh? What change are you feeling right now?
My hip. I've been having a lot of issues with my back and my hip lately, and just feeling better. Like, I went running this morning and just hurt the whole time, and it's starting to feel better.
How long have you had this in your hip and your back?
Since about early November.
Okay, that's going to sound kind of crazy. This is what I'm hearing, okay? Because God's doing something in you right now, okay? All eyes are on heaven. But go ahead and run right around here and come back up, just like you did this morning, okay? Come on. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Finish what you're doing. Come on. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can you see? Tell us what you're feeling.
It feels a lot better. Like, I still have a little bit of pain, but it feels a whole lot better than it did this morning.
Okay, run one more time. Come on. Finish the pain. Release that pain. Come on. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Ah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Feels good.
Good is good. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Is the pain gone?
What?
Is your pain gone?
About 90%, yeah.
90. One more time. Let's go. Come on. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Yeah?
Come on. Yeah?
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Is it gone?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this. Thank you for this healing. Thank you for this restoration. Thank you. Can you bend down and show us here? Just come over here. Yeah, yeah. Can you bend down? Show us what you couldn't do before. Could you do that before?
But there was pain and just...
Is the pain gone?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you show us like this? Huh?
It's like, mostly like when I'm like that. I just always had pain and it feels a whole lot better.
Just give glory to the Lord. We thank you, Lord God. This is the Lord. Yeah. We can't do these things. This is Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Heaven just touched this girl. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That's good. You'll be running better tomorrow, won't you?
I'm looking forward to it.
You can run today.
I already ran today, so...
Oh, you can run. You can even keep running around this place, whatever you want to, okay? In Jesus' name, you've been touched. Just give her more, Lord. That's awesome. All right. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Did you feel a change in your body? What did you have?
I was diagnosed with bursitis and a pulled muscle in my hip as well, and I love to dance. I like cheerleading type stuff, and I hadn't been able to do any of it. And it usually hurts if I dance around, like, even as much as I did up here, and I have nothing, like... I mean, I took the medicine and it was still hurting for 3 weeks. Like, it's been 3 weeks since then, so about the same time as hers, and it's just changed. I mean, it just feels completely normal. Like, both hips were diagnosed with that, and they feel completely normal. I mean, it's amazing.
Can you show us something that you couldn't do before very easily?
Heel stretch now, and like I was trying it last night and it was still hurting a little bit, but now it's like completely better.
Man, thank you, Holy Spirit.
I can't believe it. Thank you so much.
It's amazing.
Yes.
Who's the amazing one?
Jesus.
Amen. So Lord, we just thank you for touching this precious one. What's your first name?
Amber.
Amber was here with us yesterday for Gift of Christmas, and I thank you, Lord, for bringing her into a new place and touching her body in such a new way as well. Just give her more. Just give her more. Just give her more. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're so good. Is there anybody else who has touched? Do you feel that there's a change in your mobility in any way? Oh, just keep receiving. That's good, huh? Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. Wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Okay. Last time we soaked and I gave people the opportunity to even sleep the rest of the Lord. So I want to wake you up today, not go on that same route. Pastor Mary Pat's here too, so you'd want to stay awake. Father, we thank you, God. You are waking us up from many slumber in our life. The holiday slumber, life slumber. It's a weird word, Lord, slumber. Pray you'd wake us up, shake us up, move in us, God. We need you. We are just us. Without you, Lord, we're not much. With you, Lord, we can take nations. We can see things change right here in our homes, in our neighborhoods, but overseas as well. With you, partnering with you. God, we welcome you this morning. You teach us. You teach us. You teach us, Holy Spirit. Help us pay attention to the real teacher, the one inside, the one speaking to our hearts. Give us a great desire to respond to Holy Spirit speaking inside of us, inside of us, inside of us. All the things we could be distracted by. But we're going to listen to the voice. Still small voice or thundering voice from a mountain. We're going to listen to your voice inside of us. Speak to us. When you speak, everything changes. You spoke the 6 days of creation and everything into existence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You have a powerful voice. Speak to us. You have an amazing voice. Even when it's small and still, it does amazing, miraculous things inside of us. Today's different. Those who have ears to hear, those who have eyes to see, today's different. We receive that from you, Lord. That's your word to us. Today's different. New eyes to see, new ears to hear. Today's different. Who talks like that anymore? You do. We receive it from you. We receive it from your heart and your hand, a gift to us from an all-giving, all-loving Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We have reason for joy. Not just because it's Christmas, but because you bring Christmas to our hearts every day. Every day. Joyous Christmas. Joyous, 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 joyous. That's a cool word too, Lord. Thank you. Joyous, joyous Christmas. Give you praise, Lord. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. You need to know, a lot of people don't come here because it's too weird. So you are welcome. You are the ones with courage. I tip my hat to you. When people are running around the church and they're asked to run again and they're asked to run again, and they actually listen and they do it, that's a weird place. You know, try that at the gas station. The guy comes out and says, run around your car 3 times and then pump your gas. You'd go, you're crazy. You're nuts. Someone says it here and they do it and they think it's the greatest thing on earth. They come up and they give testimony. Try that at the unemployment office. You walk in. Okay, I want you to run around the building 3 times. I'll try to find a job for you. I don't think so. Why do we do it here? It's a weird place. We expect things to be different. We expect things to be different. That's a key word today. If you forget everything else, which is possible. Remember the word expect. If you can just expect, amazing things happen. Expect from a God that's so big. Everything in your life, other than the things of God and the children of God, are trying to shrink God in your vision. Think about it. The world is trying to shrink God down to nothing. Oh, by the way, he doesn't exist. We can prove he's dead. That's what the world will give you. Let's celebrate the devil and partying in heaven. Or excuse me, hell. I say heaven so much that... Wow, it got quiet. That's the truth, though, isn't it? The world shrinks God down in your picture, in your view. Everything in the world shrinks him down, tries to shrink God down to nothing. Everything in your flesh, your natural flesh, tries to shrink God down. God is not big enough to pay your bills, maybe somebody else's. Maybe I should have their bills. Then my bills would be paid. But he doesn't want to pay my bills because I'm just me. And he doesn't answer things from me. The flesh says, I'm nothing. I came from nothing. Some soup. Then I became an ape. And then I became... this. I got up this morning and saw this shirt. I said, wow, I think I want to wear this shirt. Then kind of running late. That's pretty normal. Put the shirt on the ironing board. Ironed the shirt. Looks okay. Looks pretty good. Then I was putting on the shirt as I ran out the door. I forgot I had Thanksgiving meal. And Thanksgiving meal several times over after the Thanksgiving meal. Then we had the gift of Christmas meal. And the shirt didn't seem to fit the same. So I'm trying to talk and suck it in all at the same time. So if I don't project to the back row, that's why. I'm in a little trouble. Yeah, thank you. Okay, but he's using someone like me. All I know how to do is joke around. And he has been so gracious. He puts me with Mrs. Dynamo. Makes me look so good. Makes me look spiritual just standing next to her. Even when they say, is that your daughter? Oh, I was waiting for that line. Okay, don't forget, you get flowers. I don't know, it's just, you know, the day after gift of Christmas, I just want to talk to you like a fun dad. But I want you to get something so serious in your heart, you walk out and you'll never forget it. That's what I want today. I think that's what your Father in heaven wants today. He wants you to hear a powerful truth, but realize it can come in the middle of joy. So I'm going to start on that eventually, what that powerful truth is. But I'm just glad you showed up. You know, people jumping up and down, running around when somebody gets prayed for. You could kind of turn into the Pharisees if you're not careful. You know, it's like, is that real? Is that person jumping up and down and running around the room like a maniac, could that be real? Or are they just doing that to please Pastor Mary Pat? People don't run around the room like maniacs to please people. When you used to go to those rock concerts, you went there and jumped up and down because you wanted to. When God touches you, you want to jump up and down and run around the room a little bit. But most of us don't get asked to do that. So we, well, I wasn't asked to run around the room. When we ask somebody to run around the room, they do. Because they've been waiting, their spirit at least. Their spirit's going, let me run around the room. I can't wait to run around the room. When are they going to ask? When are they going to ask? And the mind's going, don't do that. People think you're some kind of wacko. Oh, yes, the powerful truth. Okay, let me tell you ahead of time, this is a trick question. Orange and a tangerine. All right, you know your fruit. Which one are you? Now, it just depends on the illustration, right? If we're talking about the abundance of God, you'd want to go with this one. Are you in lack or are you in abundance? You want to go with this one, right? I mean, it just looks like it. And then you got the lowly looking tangerine next to the luscious looking orange. But there are advantages. Wait till I get there. There are advantages to being a tangerine. Now, let me just say this. By the way, don't look that this is, you know, across the board, just perfect illustration. I'm still developing as it comes. But let's just say God looks at you like this all the time. And let's just say you look at yourself like this. You know, this has got the nice thick covering on it. It has the big, juicy fruit. It has much more juice. I can guarantee you, much, much more juice than this lowly specimen. This has a very thin covering. This one has lesser looking fruit. This one has less juice. But when this one is empowered by an all living God, an almighty God, it can outshine this one completely. So if you're looking at the outside, you're going to choose maybe this one just by looks. I mean, if you were a kid at Christmas time, which one would you want? No, this one. Okay, so that's true. She might go for this one. Because she knows there's going to be something special said about this one all of a sudden. The reason she ran up, by the way, is because we had a message on the whole loaf. And no one would come up and get the whole loaf. And finally someone did. The second time I gave the message. But that's a whole another thing. Anyway, back to this. This is how God sees you all the time. You may see yourself like this, but you should celebrate in this. Because God didn't say to you, for instance, if you only had a mountain of faith, you could move that mustard seed. He said, if you have a mustard seed of faith, you could move that mountain. Why did God do that? Why didn't he go for the mountain? He's a God of abundance. Ever think of that? Why did he go for the mustard seed? It's the smallest seed. You know. Why did he do that? Why wouldn't an all-powerful God said, I've given you a mountain of faith. Now act like it. I've given you an orange. Act like it. It's got more juice. Got the juice of the Holy Spirit. Bam, boom, things are going to happen. Instead, he says, I've given you a mustard seed of faith. In this case, a representation of a mustard seed, since I didn't have a mustard tree around. But I do have a wife that likes flax seed. But for our purposes, I stole some, honey. For our purposes, this is a mustard seed of faith. Why would he give you a seed and not a mountain? Love it. Okay, thank you. We're done here. Okay. Take my oranges and go home. This is true. Yes. A mustard seed on top of that. And a mountain. A mountain doesn't grow. A mountain doesn't grow. Mustard seed grows. Grows into a tree. And the tree then has birds fly into it, the Bible says. Now these are good birds this time. Sometimes the birds in the Bible aren't so good. They're like the birds in the Alfred Hitchcock. As a kid, it terrorized me, but I kept watching it. Go, those birds are going to peck her face. Oh, no. Let's watch it again. That's my brother and I. My brother and I, he's 2 years younger, some of you that haven't been here before. Who hasn't been here? This is the first Sunday ever here. Okay, yeah. Woo! Awesome. I'll tell you about the brother. The brother and I decided, I was in second grade, he was in kindergarten. And we decided to burn a box inside of another box. Both were cardboard boxes. Thinking that the outside box would hold the fire in. And we set an entire field on fire. Okay, so that brother, okay. Yeah, my idea. Oh, boy. Anyway, a mustard seed grows. And there's something to this growing in faith. Would you rather have a mustard seed of faith in a great God or a mountain of faith in a very small God? Unfortunately, in the body of Christ, most of the body of Christ is looking for the mountain of faith. They're putting the light shining on themselves saying, I don't have enough faith. I need to increase in faith. The Bible says I need to have lots of faith to get what I need from God or to have things happen. And so on. And so they concentrate on getting more faith. I need more faith. I need more faith. And the world's going, this is great. Because all we have to do is shrink your God. The world shrinks it. The flesh. The devil. Does he want to make God small in your life? So he lies. He lies to you. God won't do anything for you. God doesn't pay attention to you. God doesn't care about you. You don't care about you. Hey, you don't care about you. No one cares about you. You're alone, and no one cares about you. You're alone, and no one cares about you, and no one ever will care about you. And before long, your life looks like trash. It doesn't take much. It's a lie that started with the enemy, and he shrinks God in your life. And you start believing you're on your own to fight against all of life. On my own. And at first you give it a good shot. This is going to work. And then it doesn't. Okay, this is going to work. And it doesn't. Okay, how about I try this? Oh, I know. I'll get the survival mentality going. When it doesn't work, I'll lie. I'll steal. I'll do something to manipulate. Hey, this is kind of starting to work. Kinda. I get caught and I just lie some more. I manipulate and someone says you're manipulating, I manipulate them into thinking I'm not manipulating. And my God gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And I cry out to him, God, help me. Help me to manipulate better. Help me to lie better. It's not working. Help me to do my plan better. Because it's not working. My plan isn't working. Bless my plan. Bless my plan, man. Upstairs. Guess he lives in the attic. It's the man upstairs. And you can even get to the point where if you come to church like that, you become one of the better members because you can manipulate everybody into thinking you're like the most spiritual person around. I'll just tell you right off the bat, I'm not. I'm not the most spiritual person in the room, but I'm the one that's talking today. How'd that happen? Manipulation. No. Nice thought, though. Some of you are thinking about that now, aren't you? It's a real possibility. I could have gotten up here by manipulation. Or, I've got a secret. I'm willing to share it. See, I celebrate having a mustard seed of faith. Most of you only celebrate when you have a mountain of faith. And you feel like, wow, I accomplished it. I had a mountain of faith. In fact, they might even call me a man of faith. Somebody will. Because in this situation, man, I knocked it out of the park. But see, if the focus is on how much faith we have, we missed it. Because Jesus says, I can move a mountain with just a mustard seed of faith. What's he talking about? In the Old Testament, what showed if you had faith? Well, general faith. I saw God do something. I believe in that God. I saw him do something. So now I believe in him because I saw him do it. That was the general faith of the times. Do you know why the Old Testament heroes are called the Old Testament heroes? Because they believed God would do something just when he told them he would. That's how you became an Old Testament hero. You want to become an Old Testament hero? Of course you don't, because you live in a whole new covenant. But if you did, you want to get into Bible stories? Just believe ahead. God is going to do it because he said so. Noah, I'm going to do something. Build an ark. Now people today would say, okay, does that make sense? No. Do we have the finances? No. I'm done. Natural thinking doesn't get supernatural results. So Noah said, I don't know what God's talking about. I don't get it, but he told me to do it. I'm going to do it. Everybody's, you know, you can imagine Noah was the joke of the month or the joke of quite a long time because it took him years to build this thing. He didn't care because he had a word from the Lord in the Old Testament. He looked ahead and said, it's going to happen because God said so. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't even know what this thing is necessarily, but it's big. And I'm involved in it. And I've got a big partner. He's a big God. He said something to me to do. I'm doing it. That's how you get your name in the Bible, in a positive way. Was Noah always on track? How many are listening? You still with me? Noah, was he always on track? No. Abraham, God says, go. Abraham says, okay. Abraham goes. The family goes, Abraham's going. He knows God. We're going. Everybody. Even the goats and the sheep said, we're going. Because Abraham's going, he knows God, he listens to God, and when he says God told him something, it's true, so I'm going with Abraham. Did Abraham do everything right? Absolutely not. Oh no, read the book. Oh no. Sarah, Abraham's wife. She do everything right? Do you know that she's in Hebrews 11, the chapter of faith? It doesn't say anything about her laughing when God said you're going to produce a child. Doesn't say anything about that. She laughed at God. Laughed. Not just a giggle. A full out hearty har har. When God said, you will have a child. At the word of the Lord. And she's in the chapter of faith. Somewhere in the process, she might have laughed at it at first. God gives credit if you don't laugh the second time. He wipes out your first reaction. Yo, that's big. He wipes out your first reaction. Oh, that couldn't be God. And you go, well, that is God. I'm going to have a child. Let's have a baby shower. And play those stupid games. Have punch and cookies. Fatten up that lady. It's true. The flaxseed, mustard seed people are getting a little rowdy here. We're going to put you back to this if you don't. Okay, so. I can handle it. I've broken an ankle and it was healed. I'm not worried. Okay, so. This is important. If you can make all these mistakes, by the way, David's in the chapter of faith. Murderer, adulterer, and what else? The good thing. A man after God's own heart. Wait a minute. I can be a murderer and an adulterer and a man after God's own heart. How does that work? Some think that's their lifestyle. Oh, good. I'm a man after God's own heart and I can be in adultery and I can murder people all the time. No. He repented. That's how you become a man after God's own heart. You can be a real screw up and repent and receive the refreshing and the forgiveness of the Lord. And suddenly you're in the chapter of faith. This is good news. I don't know. This is good news. But you should celebrate having a mustard seed of faith. Why? Because it's guaranteed to grow if you celebrate. Remember that passage in 1 Corinthians 3 where it talks about I, Paul, planted, Apollos watered, and God brought the increase. Remember that? Anyone here remember that? If not, that's okay. I'll tell you about it. I planted, Paul. Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. Now, it was in some instruction he was giving to the Corinthian church. You guys are off. You're not being spiritual. Because you're celebrating like little factions. Like if it was here, it'd be like, I'm of Pastor Mary Pat. I only listen to her. She's got the best revelation of God anyway. That fat, bald guy, I don't know about him, but she has all kinds of revelation from God. Or there'd be those that, oh, I like Pastor Bill because all he does is joke around. And that's my personality. He's a big joke, and so am I. So I celebrate Pastor Bill. And then others would say, I only celebrate Christ. I've had people actually say to me, you know, I want to, you know, gear in with Frontline and just think you're the greatest. But, of course, Jesus is higher. Thank you for clearing that up for me. Just thought I'd let you know, Pastor Bill, you're not at the top of the heap. Okay, appreciate that. I kind of assumed that, but thanks for really having it come home to me, you know, that I'm not at the top. Only Jesus is. That's good. That's good. We all need a good, firm message like that from time to time to humble us. Okay. What's this have to do with you? It has everything to do with your being a success and not just a participant. There are people that come here for years and they don't have the picture. So if you're here for the first day and you don't feel like you got the picture, you're in a great position. Because it hasn't been years yet. But some come for years, they don't get the picture. God is actually talking to us here. Other places, thank the Lord. He's talking to believers around the earth. But you may not like the mouthpiece. Or you may not value the mouthpiece because it looks like a mustard seed to you. That's right. It looks like a mustard seed to you. So you get used to that mustard seed being kind of small and, oh, we know Pastor Mary Pat, we know Pastor Bill, we know the leaders at front. We know them. They got holes all through their life. So do the people in the chapter of faith. What could they speak of the revelation of God to me? Oh, I know they occasionally hit something that hits my heart, but you got to be pretty, pretty profound to hit my heart. I've heard it all. So, Pastor Bill, you be very profound. I might even consider remembering something you have to say. And what God is saying to us this morning is mustard seed. If you took just something that was said from God to you through an imperfect vessel this morning, it could change everything in your life. But you have to celebrate the mustard seed rather than evaluate the mustard seed. If you looked at the mustard seed, say, just throw it off to the side. You wouldn't even notice it in the carpet, especially now. When it was orange, it might stick out. But now, it's just going to get lost in the carpet. No big deal. Just throw that away this week, that next week, the next week, all year long, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years. I'll just throw those mustard seeds. Oh, I know, they're probably on fire for God. Yeah, they go to different nations, and they preach all over the world, and they do things like that. And, you know, Pastor Billy seems kind of fired up when he does worship. But that's them. In my life, you know, I come to church, but my life just doesn't seem to change that much. So it must be just about showing up at church. Somehow the Spirit's going to hit me one of these days, and I'm going to be like one of those great people of faith. And I'm telling you today, no, you're not. No, you're not. You could be that person right now. Just celebrate that you're a mustard seed instead of trying to think, oh, I'm gonna be Reinhard Bonnke. No, you be you. And celebrate what God wants to do in you this morning. And that will grow and grow and grow. And you're still going to think you're a mustard seed. And actually other people are going to go, no, you're the tree. No, I'm still a mustard seed. I'm celebrating it. No, you're a tree of faith. You're an oak of righteousness. And you're like, how did that happen? See, you're still looking at yourself as the tangerine. Everyone else is looking at you as the orange, including God. In fact, he starts out looking at you like this. You don't have to prove anything to him. He already knows what he put inside of you. He would just like it to grow, grow. Now, is this really true the way it works out? Thanks for that. When Jesus was in the boat with the disciples, what did he say they had very little of? Faith. But then he says, all you need is the faith of a mustard seed. See, sometimes Jesus is wrong. I'm kidding. Just don't write that down. Cut that out of the tape. No, isn't that a little confusing? Oh, ye of little faith. He even said that to Peter when he walked on water and had a little trouble. Oh, ye of little faith. And the guys in the boat, oh, ye of little faith. All you need is a mustard seed. What was the problem? What? They didn't have a mustard seed. They didn't have a mustard seed of faith. That's absolutely right. They were looking at it wrong. It's not just faith. It's faith in a big God. They didn't know who they were with in the boat. Remember when they went out and there was a crowd, happened to be at the base of a mountain. I thought that was kind of cool. The base of a mountain. And this guy comes up and goes, yeah, your guys couldn't get the job done. They prayed for my son and the demon didn't leave. They couldn't cure him. And Jesus goes, oh, perverse generation. What happened to the mustard seed? Let's go back to that. I kind of like hearing that one. What's this perverse generation? He's talking to the whole group. The guy, the son, the disciples, generation, everybody. Happened to the mustard seed thing? You don't have any faith. In fact, you might have to go pray and fast to get this done. What's he talking about? The father says, so maybe you can do it. Maybe you can cure my son. Boom. Cured just like that. Bam. Gone. And then he says, if you only had a mustard seed of faith, just like what you said, if you only had a mustard seed of faith, you could move a mountain. They're at the base of a mountain. Wasn't that cool? You could move this mountain right here into the ocean with just a mustard seed of faith. Hey, we gave it a shot. We tried. I mean, We laid hands on him. We cast out the demon and he didn't go. So the disciples, what's going on? They ask him a question in private. Wrong kind of faith. You had some faith, but it was in your ability. It wasn't in an almighty God. It wasn't in a great big God. See, I could celebrate having a mustard seed of faith because I know a great big God can use it to move mountains. But if I say, oh, I don't have enough faith, and I concentrate on myself, you need more faith, Bill. Okay, I'm going to go after more faith. How do I do that? Where do I buy it? Do I go to Mark's or Sears? Probably Sears. Sounds like faith would be better bought at Sears. You know, what's their thing? Everything lasts forever. You buy it at Sears, guarantee forever. All that. Sounds good. Buy it at Sears. He's saying you can have faith that is a mustard seed and it can grow into a mountain of faith if you involve a big God. But if you let the world, the flesh, the devil, religion shrink God down to no size at all, even a mustard seed of faith isn't going to grow. It's going to be as if you have nothing, no faith. Oh, ye of little faith, which means you have any. You don't have any. You don't have any. But I thought, you know, maybe a mustard seed. Nope, you don't have any. You don't know I'm in the boat? That I could create a desert right now. That the boat would be in dry land. Moses looks at the Red Sea and goes, I don't know how we're going to get out of this, but let's pray. God says, enough praying, watch this. Put your staff down. Poof, ocean, or the Red Sea goes, poof, and all the scientists now are trying to figure out how to explain that. In a way that makes scientific sense. What a stupid study. Scientists study the natural, okay? This was a supernatural event. It's like scientists going to study when he multiplied the bread. Let's study it. Well, first, for science, you have to repeat it in order to study it. It has to be repeatable. Okay, come on, scientists. Get up here, line up, and we'll bring you some bread and some fishes and see how you do on the repeating part. They don't have a mustard seed of faith. They might even believe in God. But they don't believe in the big God that can multiply, or they wouldn't try to study it. I'm not getting this across like I want to. The thing is, big God, not your big faith. Attach yourself to a big God. Don't worry about how much faith you have. I don't go around worrying about how much faith I have. I worry about how big my God is, whether I'm letting him be big enough. I have a bill. Do I have enough faith to believe God could pay my bill? That's not even a discussion. When you have a big God. Of course he can pay your stupid little electric bill. You're trying to make a connection with him on how to do that. I'm telling you, it's not the connection you think. God, please, 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 please. I guess I'm showing a lot of faith. Please, 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 please pay my electric bill. Oh, I didn't say it enough. Two more pleases. Please, please pay my electric bill. Please, 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 please. It's not working. What you do is you say this. God, I don't have enough faith for you to pay my electric bill. Why don't you pay it? I know you're big God. You own everything. Electric bill can't be any big thing to you. Oh, I'm not going to worry about it. You just pay it. You're big God. Big God. Big God. Keep saying big God. And I'm telling you, amazing things happen. You think this is too simple. I know, but I'm telling you, if you go around going, is he going to pay my electric bill? Do I have enough faith to see my electric bill? You're going to get discouraged. But you going around saying, I've got a big God that loves me. He wants to take care of me. He's a shepherd that's always looking out for me. He's always taking care of my needs. Even when I don't think in my eyeballs I see them taken care of, they're taken care of in Jesus' name. They're going to go in Jesus' name. I have a need. It's going to be met because my dad's so big and he's so good and he's so wonderful to me. And he is a good shepherd, and good shepherd takes care of the sheep, and I'm a sheep, and I'm a sheep, and I'm a sheep. And I only have a mustard seed of faith, so move the mountain because you're the one, not me. Doesn't matter what I have. It's what you have and who you are. And don't just do it to meet this little need. Meet the need in my heart that says, I want my faith to grow, and it can only grow when you are big. And I get all these shackles off my thinking that you're small. You say, well, that's just subtle little difference. No, I'm telling you. It makes all the difference in the world. If you go around going, I'm going to get more faith, I'm going to get more faith, this thing's going to grow, I'm going to get more faith, you don't even have this. You don't have it. You don't need more faith. You need a bigger God. You let him take the shackles off your thinking that he's small. Everything in your life except for the things God reveals to you is trying to shrink God in your eyes. And you're buying it. Some of you. You're buying into it. I can prove it. Because I buy into it sometimes. Too many times. Wow, it's nice and quiet. I could hear a flaxseed mustard seed drop. Most of us in life have been believing in too small of a God. And we've been trying to get more faith. I once had a principal, and she said, we're getting some complaints from the parents, because I was told when I joined the school system, I was an elementary teacher, that I could read the Bible to them before class started in the morning. Some school system, huh? So I decided not only would I read the Bible, I'd get the overhead out. I know that's old technology, but the overhead out and present the entire gospel on the overhead to the students. And then when the day was supposed to start for teaching, we'd start our regular lessons. And I just did that progressively. Just took my time. Kids were enjoying it. I was enjoying it. And, you know, of course, you're going to get some parent complaints. So the parents complained to the principal. And I said, well, this is kind of what I'm doing. She said, well, could you show me? Sure. Come on up to my overhead. And I thought, okay, this is my one-time shot. She's going to shut it all down, so I'm going to give it my best, man. I'm going to tell her just how much God loves her, how he gave Jesus to die for her sins, and she can now know him and be free. So I gave it my best shot. Put the overhead out there, fresh new sheet of that paper, that plastic you put on there, new pen, and I went for it, and I showed her the whole thing. And Jesus, you could have him. So she says, well, I'll think it over. She didn't say, well, you can't present that here. She didn't say anything like that. She said, meet me in my office such time. So I meet her in her office. She said, well, you know, I don't see anything wrong with what you're presenting. Now you're talking, lady. But I don't have enough faith to personally believe in this. I don't have faith like you do. You see, if I know whereof I speak. People are going around saying, that's good for you, but I don't have enough faith for it. And I know you must have a lot of faith in order to believe that stuff. But it doesn't work in life. I've lived life. That doesn't work in life. So if it works for you, that's amazing, because it doesn't work for me. Life is way too hard. Things are too big. Let me tell you what she was doing. How many have ever seen up in the sky in this area the Goodyear blimp? Or seen it on TV, whatever. The Goodyear blimp. This is what she was doing. She was standing with her nose this far from the Goodyear blimp. And this is what life looked like to her. Way overwhelming. Life is way too hard for God to do anything for me. Her God was so small, but her Goodyear blimp was so big. She was standing with her nose next to it. I'm sorry, excuse me, some of you have been doing the same thing. And I have in my past as well. I'm getting rid of the Goodyear blimp permanently. Why? Because now I just simply look up and see a God that's huge. And he's looking down on the Goodyear blimp, and the Goodyear blimp looks like nothing. When I look through his eyes, I said, when I look through his eyes, the Goodyear blimp problems of life shrink down to nothing. When I look for myself, they're right in front of my nose, and it's too big. It's too much to deal with. I've got pressures. I don't know how many people I've talked to in the last 20 years. Stress! I've got stress. I'm thinking, there's a cure for stress. It's called peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. There goes your stress. There goes your stress. But you don't know my life. I got special stress. Special stress delivered by UPS. I got a specialer God. He's bigger too than any of your stress or my stress. Stress should be put to rest. The Sabbath rest of Jesus. You know, Sabbath is not a day anymore. It's a person. Well, I think I'll go to church on the Sabbath. Well, you just do that. I'd rather spend time with the Sabbath. I get a lot more out of that. I'm going to be at church Sunday. That's nice. Be with Jesus all the time. But doesn't God give me points for coming to church? I don't think so. You should be coming to church because you want to be around other people that splash their faith on you. You know, when he says, I planted, he wasn't saying that, you know, like I'm saying it like in boasting. Because later he says, don't do that boasting thing. But I planted, Apollos watered, and God brought the growth. What he was saying was, come to church. But don't come boasting about what group you're part of or what person you follow, or I follow this teacher and they have the best teaching and blah, 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 blah. Come to church and say, hey, splash some faith on me. I have a mustard seed. I need it watered. I need it fertilized. When you self-fertilize, you don't end up with the kind of crop you want. Most Christians, unfortunately, are self-fertilizing Christians. They ask themselves what they think about what they've just heard from God or what they think they got out of the Bible, and they don't ask anybody else. Even the Old Testament says there's safety in many counselors, and they don't take advantage of it. And so what happens is they self-fertilize, end up with some of the craziest ideas. We need one another. Splash some faith on each other. Get some watering, get some fertilization from each other so that we have our rudder straight in the water. So we're going straight in the water. And some of us, you know, we'll do it in the big things. Well, I'm going to have an operation. I guess I'm calling for you to pray for me. Well, I'm glad you did. But weren't there like 26 other things that maybe somebody in the body could have prayed over you for too? We're supposed to be really connected. And I like it. Here, we're connected, I think, more than most places. But I think we can get closer. And we can get more splashing on one another and receive more fertilization from one another. And God will bring the increase. And your little mustard seed, you're still going to look at it like a little mustard seed, and it's suddenly grown into a bush. And all the trees, all the birds are going to fly into that bush. You're going, where do these birds come from? Why are they interested in hearing from me? Why do they want to taste my fruit and talk to me and spend time with me? Where do all these people come from? I'm not lonely anymore. It's because God brings the increase, not you. You don't come up with your own ministry. You simply celebrate. You have a mustard seed of faith, and you let God grow it by looking at him, how big he is to take care of anything in your life, and that he wants to. You don't have to beg him. You don't have to beg your father. Religion says you have to beg God. Oh, I thought religion was a good thing. No, not here. Freedom's a good thing. Religion says you have to beg God. Freedom says just dance around the room like a maniac and run, and God gives you something. Act like a complete fool in the presence of God, worshiping him, and suddenly things fall off of you and things get solved and you don't have to spend your time begging. Some of you are not convinced, but I'm telling you. It works. When we had malaria in 2009, Heidi Baker came to the hospital to pray for us in Cleveland. If you don't know who Heidi Baker is, just think of her as a really cool spiritual person. She came to the hospital, and I was wheeled out into the lobby because Pastor Mary Pat was in the special part of the hospital. I was in the regular part. So she went to visit her, and then she was going to pass by, just like Bible days, it's fun, pass by the lobby and pray for me on the way out to go to the airport. And President Obama was in town, and so everything was shut down, and it was hard to get in and out of the hospital because he was right next door at Cleveland Clinic speaking. So I noticed when, I didn't see her pray for Pastor Mary Pat, I heard about it later, but when she came and prayed for me, she didn't pray about my cotton pick and malaria. What the heck? I get wheeled down out of my room. I'm kind of like, if you have ever had malaria, you probably haven't. Thank God. But it's just kind of, it just takes everything from you, your emotions. And that's why I act the way I do now. But so I was in the lobby. I was in a wheelchair. And here comes Heidi Baker to pray and her entourage of people trying to get her to the airport. She was late already and she took time to pray for me. So She prays over me. I was thinking, okay, you know, let's get rid of this malaria, right? Let's go for it. Get rid of the malaria. She doesn't pray for the malaria. She doesn't pray to get rid of the malaria. She doesn't say anything about my malaria. She talks about how when I'm healed, how it's going to affect Africa, that my malaria was healed. And I figured she probably did the same thing with in Pastor Mary Pat's room too. She didn't pray for someone that's dying with malaria. She prayed how after they're healed, it was going to affect the nations. Now see, that's believing in a big God. Because malaria is no problem to a big God. That's looking through God's eyes from heaven to earth and saying, of course he wants to heal malaria. It's a wicked, evil disease affecting the earth. He's not about malaria or any other wicked, evil affecting the earth. He's a good father. I learned something that day. I started saying, wow, when I'm out of the hospital, boom, boom, boom. When Pastor Mary Pat has her suddenly, boom, boom, boom. I had a little bit of that thinking before, but this was the watering. This was the fertilizer on that mustard seed of faith I had that I had a very big God. This person comes in, waters, fertilizes, and suddenly God's even bigger. And so's my little mustard seed. See, faith grows with how big your God is, not how big your faith is. This is important. Because cool stuff happens. Look at this place. There aren't like thousands of people here. But look at the pictures. It's like we have thousands here. If you didn't look at the people in the seats, you'd say, wow, they must have spent a lot of money to go to China and Mozambique or Ghana. Ghana, thank you. And India and Mozambique and China and Indonesia and Singapore. And where'd they get all that money? You know, I don't know. I don't know. I wish I could explain it. It's kind of fun not to. It's a mystery. Look around. There aren't enough people here. And some are new. They weren't here to give the money towards those trips. You think the kids in the kids' wing are giving that money? Some of them got some pretty big piggy banks. We stole them. Every piggy bank of every kid. That's how we go on these missions. Just thought I'd let you know. Piggy bank stealers. How do these things happen? How? Because we just kind of say, you're big. It's your mission. I don't know how you come up with the money for it, but go ahead. Just do it. Just do it. And when we're in a hole, we kind of laugh. It's like, we're kind of behind. I know. Let's buy the building. And the land. But you're behind. Yeah. But he's not behind. And before we buy the land and the building, before the papers are signed, let's renovate. Not too long ago, these floors were orange. These seats were orange. And now they're not. That plan started before we signed the paperwork on the building we didn't have the money for. Are you thinking, oh, wow, you people must have great faith? No, I have a mustard seed. Fooled ya! Got a mustard seed. That's all I have. But I've got a huge God, and he's getting bigger in my eyes all the time. He's getting bigger, 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 and more loving in my eyes all the time. He keeps expanding. Worship expands him. You, when you give your testimonies, expands him in my mind. He's huge. He's big. He's mighty. And then someone prays for me, and something in me is healed. Oh! Extra noodles! Mrs. Grass's extra noodles! Not just a whole loaf, raisins and almonds in that whole loaf. Things start jumping. And then those people come in that we wanted to come here for such a long time. They came yesterday. And they didn't just come here. They started coming forward. And I think, I didn't do that. Pastor Mary Pat was really on fire, but no, she didn't do that. Big God did that. Big Abba Father drew that wave of people down to be touched. Oh! Don't let this big God be shrunken up. Come on, especially Thanksgiving, Christmas. Not good. We're supposed to be thanking him, you know, and celebrating his birth. This isn't the time to let him shrink. This is the time to let him be as big as he is, because we're going to take him into the new year, 2013, and rip it up even more, even more. Think he's growing. Doing some watering. Doing some fertilizing in some hearts. If you've let your God be too small for too long, you end up with the results of that. If you've let your God be too small for too long, you end up with the results for that in life. If you're learning, which he allows, he doesn't say you have a mountain seed of faith. He says you have a mustard seed of faith. He wants it to grow. There's something valuable in the growth of it. Jesus grew in favor with God and man. Huh? God values growth. Jesus even grew in favor with God and man. How? Don't ask me. I'm just a pastor. I don't know. How does Jesus grow when he's perfect? I don't know. That's the mystery. Celebrate the mystery like you celebrate the seed. You're supposed to be celebrating the things you don't know and don't understand about God, rather than sitting, well, that's going to keep me from doing anything for him. Because I don't understand everything, then you're not ever going to do anything for him. Because I don't understand hardly anything. And I'm having a ball. I'm having a great time. God's doing amazing things. Isn't it sweet? I could just say, hey, I don't know anything. And he goes, yeah, you're perfect for the job. Really? Yeah, let me tell you about my hall of faith in Hebrews 11. None of them do anything either. But I put them in a special chapter and celebrate them. And get this. When you let your mustard seed of faith grow, he wipes out all record of you ever doubting him. All record of you ever making him a small God. When you allow him to be a big God and keep on growing to be a big God, and you celebrate that mustard seed of faith, say, here it is, God, it's all yours. I'm going to believe you're a huge God, and I have a little bit of faith, and those two will, whoo, change everything. I'm going to be a world changer. I don't know how, but it's going to be cool. You just speak into it. I'm telling you what. Wipes out any record of you ever doubting him. Sarah laughing, it's not in the New Testament. Record in Hebrews 11 of her laughing at God. That gives you hope, doesn't it? Gives me hope. I've laughed at God many, many times. And he turned it around into, oh, you meant it. You really want me to do this? Yes, I do. And I went, okay. You know, Jesus gave a story about that. Remember the son that comes and says no, and the son that comes and says yes, but the one that came and said yes doesn't go, and the one that said no does go, or something like that. Remember that? You go, gee, I don't want to be the one that says no first. If your no turns to yes, it's all right. You don't want to be the one that says, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, God, now that I've come to frontline, it's my church forever. Really? That's going to be tested. That is going to be tested. Now that I'm connected with you, God, you're my God forever. Oh, our words are big, big, big. That's why some of you aren't saying them. I'm never going to say that because I know when you say that, you never keep it. So I'm not going to make any big promises to God. I just won't do it. I feel better about it. No, you don't. Because both end up in the same problem. What you want to do is say, God, I want to follow you the rest of my life, but I can't do it. But I want to. He goes, okay. I'll give you all the power you need to do it. I receive it. My mustard seed of faith starts to grow. It becomes a tree. I don't even know it. I still think I have a mustard seed. But my God is so big, he backs me up. And I actually am connected with him forever. From the time I received Jesus when I was 19, I have never slid backwards much degree at all. Now, when I received Jesus when I was 5, I slid backwards every day. When I received him at 13, I slid backwards every day. When I received him at 19, it's been a gradual going for Jesus since that time. What's the difference? He became a big enough God to get me there when I was 19. Before that, he wasn't. I didn't have a mustard seed of faith. I had no faith. Because I didn't believe he was really that big a God. It's just, you know, I was supposed to do this stuff, and so I did it, and nothing happened. So, oh, okay. It's what it looks like to me, everybody else's experiences. Let me tell you something important. For you to have a big God, you have to believe some things. This is one of them. On the earth, is the devil winning or losing? And I mean from the heart. You have to believe something. The end of the book in Revelation, God already says, I win. and you win. I win, you win. He's already said it. I win, you win. So wouldn't it make sense? He's winning. No matter what it looks like. Muslims are taking over the Middle East. He's winning. Canton is filled with drugs. He's winning. There are people being shot and killed in Canton, Ohio. He's winning. There was a major scandal at Jackson High School. He's winning. How could he be winning with so many terrible things going on? Mustard seed of faith. Don't look at things like your natural eyes look at. Look at it in the supernatural. Believe what he says rather than what you see. The Old Testament saints became Old Testament heroes because they believed God's word over their circumstances. There was no rain when Noah started building the ark. Some say there it had never rained. It was just a mist in those days that kept the earth cool. He had never seen, maybe, possibly, had never seen a drop of rain. How in the world did he ever believe that? He believed in a big God. It wasn't his faith. It was that God said it. He's big. I believe he's big. I hear from him. Okay. We now have Holy Spirit inside of us. We're much better off than the Old Testament saints, the Old Testament heroes, because we have Holy Spirit inside. So every one of you belongs in the Hebrews 11 chapter of faith, if you know Jesus. Because Holy Spirit inside of you is that mustard seed of faith. And he's going to grow and overtake you this next year if you let him. And you're going to get rid of some of the lies that hold you back. You're going to get rid of some of the influence of the world that holds you back. You're going to say, I don't need that stuff. I don't need that way of thinking. My God's too big for that way of thinking. I don't have the right education, so I can never have a good job, so I can never be provided for. I can never have the lifestyle that I really think that I... Really? Oh, huh. How about that? Huh. I'm the son of a garbage man. I mean, you know, the people in the Bible were fishermen. Paul had all this status, but he said it's like dung. He had all this training. That's worthless for what I'm doing right now. Why? All the training in the world doesn't make God big. I don't know if you know, but going through high school, college, maybe even graduate school, they try to shrink God most places. They're not trying to make God bigger for you. They're trying to make man bigger for you, education bigger for you. Should you not get educated? No, get educated. But keep that in mind as you go through. Moses was educated by an absolutely godless secular system, and he came out of it loving God. Why? His God was big, bigger than that system. Don't get sucked in by a system that's too small. And a God, you want to get sucked in by a God that's too big. Real big. Huge. But I've never seen God do anything for me. Good time to start. Maybe your God's been too big. Excuse me, too small. Maybe you actually need to say, hey, I've got a mustard seed of faith here. I'm going to go with it. How do you know it will be successful? 5 years from now, you can say, I am in the center of God's will. Wherever you are, if you're here frontline, you're somewhere else. But you can say 5 years from now, I'm in the center of God's will. I have a father that I can look to in heaven, and I have some fathering that's going on in my life on earth. I have some counselors I can trust with all my decisions. I'm not alone. I am so filled up with relationships, I can hardly keep up. Because that can be your future. Or you can say, yeah, I'll try it for now. If it works, okay. You know, if it doesn't, I'm going to chuck it. And that's a very small God. Let's be honest. If you chuck it, that's a real small God. Because even when there's challenges to following him, he gives you the absolute ability to go through those challenges. Both Pastor Mary Pat and myself have gone through devastating challenges in our life. And you know what? We're as happy as can be. How'd that happen? Big God. Not Big Bill. Not Big MP. Big God. Not Big Faith. Woo!
Mighty man of faith. That's why that happened. Mighty woman of faith.
Well, that might be true, but not because of that, but a big God that we believe cares. Let him grow. Let him grow. Let him grow to be who he really is. The Bible is all about expanding how big God is. That's why we say read the Bible. Not because God says, hey, did you read the Bible today? Check you off if you did. Throw you off if you didn't. That's religion. Did you make it to church this week? Check you off if you did. Throw you out if you didn't. That's why when people show up at the door, I haven't seen for a while, and they go, yeah, well, the reason I haven't been at church, hey, good to see you. Hey, the reason I haven't been here is because, hey, didn't even notice, but hey, sorry, I should have. No, I do notice, but I don't think of it as a check off. I think of it as, hey, you're here where you can get splashed down with some more faith and grow your mustard seed. It's kind of fun. Let's enjoy it. Let's not talk about why you weren't here. Sometimes I'm not here, you know? Run out to some nation or something. What if you check me off? It'd be quite a bit of time during the year. You know, you actually can have fun with this thing. You can see God come in and touch the very things that you're so concerned about, but it's him in his bigness doing it, not your begging. It's a really fun thing. Because sometimes you don't even pray about it, and he just knows the desire of your heart, and he comes in and he wants to just show you, so he does, because you believe in him, and he's so big, and you're going to know it's him. You're not going to give credit to something else. I know people right now that are giving credit to hospitals for God's healing. Now, it should be the other way around. Giving credit to God and then saying, wow, isn't it great how he used hospitals? Okay to give them credit and honor. Not a problem. But let's put first things first, the big God first. Who gave those guys those ideas? Do you think Josh Jacquet is just smart all on his own? God developed that whole thing of the medical arts. And he studied it. And he knows God, and he can do two, you know, healing, medical arts, healing, medical arts. That's a big God. What if he just said, well, I don't need healing now that I have medical arts. I'll go with that. I know him. He's my son-in-law. That's why I get to joke about him. And I know he wants more healing. Figure out how to get more healing into his visits in a very busy emergency room. He's saying, God, be so big that you give me such opportunities that they go quickly too because I've got this lineup of people. He's trusting a God so big that he can kind of change the system to give him a little bit more time with patients that they can get into the spiritual aspects, those that want to. He doesn't have to force anything on anybody. The fields are white with harvest. People are wanting a big God. And you're the representative to say, he's big. Let me give you the latest testimony, not just a testimony from 10 years ago. The latest one, fresh, 2 days ago. That's a big God. If your testimony is from 10 years ago, he's not big yet, is he? He has to be big like this minute. We all need him to be big this minute. Not big 10 years ago. Oh yeah, well back then I used to have a real good close relationship with God. That's nice. What about right now? Right this minute? Is he big or small? I think I know the answer. Just trying to encourage you from a father's heart, telling you this is a secret to life. Letting God be as big as he is and as loving as he is towards you. He's the kindest person in the universe. He's the most loving. He's the most patient. He's so patient with you. He'll take your mistakes, watch you make them, and you go, oh, wait a minute, you're a big God. And I have a mustard seed of faith. Here you go. You plant it into the big God. It grows. He waters it. He fertilizes it. He gets even bigger. And you go, whoa, God, you're big. I worship you. You're so awesome. I'm not worshiping you because everybody else is. I'm worshiping you because I am. He goes, you're my child. Oh, I hear you. He's saying you're my child all the time and people aren't hearing him because they don't believe he's talking to them. They don't believe he's real, or they don't believe he's big, or he doesn't talk today, only out of the Bible. And he's waiting to get that message through to you. That was what Gift of Christmas was all about. Hey, the Father loves you. Why don't you get a little closer to the Father? He's saying, come home, he loves you. And who of us that were here yesterday didn't want that ourselves, even if we knew Jesus? We were drawn in some ourselves. Oh, gosh, yeah. Oh, God's even bigger today. Oh, that's right. We're supposed to be ministering to people and helping people today. But we got splashed on, too. Come on. Come on. The drama, the dance, the preaching, the worship. That guy like a maniac on the guitar. Oh, yeah. Woo! I don't just want to do this thing. I want to have fun. I want to have fun. Going with Lawrence Liptak to China and the team we had was fun. It wasn't fun for the communists, but it was fun for us. People on the train, you play a little guitar, they go, oh, you are a rock star. Well, I am on the rock, and he is the bright and morning star. Let us tell you about him. They're taking pictures, wanting pictures with us because we play guitar. I'm thinking, oh man, get a picture of Jesus. He's so much bigger, so much greater. And all you need is a mustard seed of faith, you can move a whole mountain. By the way, interesting thing. Someone can study this and explain it to me, but maybe you didn't know this, but in the Message Bible, in the Mark passage, where it talks about prayer and fasting, in the Message Bible, it skips from verse 20 to verse 22. Leaves it out. Interesting. Interesting. But one way to look at that is this. If your God is so big, prayer and fasting makes him that much bigger. But what if you're believing he's big and you don't need to always pray and fast to get there? That would be a good lifestyle. I'm not saying we shouldn't pray and fast. What I'm saying is, what if without prayer and fasting, you were already gaining in God being big? Prayer and fasting would only add to it, would only make it even him even bigger. But you don't need, desperately need, to pray and fast in order to have a big God. You don't want to be dependent on prayer and fasting. You want to be dependent on a big God. You don't want to be dependent on anything that is just a way to get him to be bigger. You want him bigger. Now, if you need to pray and you need to fast and you need to do that more to have him be bigger, great. But you might pray just to have fun, just to enjoy him, just to tell him how cool it is, all the things he's doing in your life. And not always just praying, oh God, I'm not close to you. I don't get it. How come you're not feeling big today? Well, believe me, he didn't change size. It's our problem. Maybe you need more like, God, I don't know. It's got to be my problem. Sorry. I goofed up here. You're big. And just start saying, you're really big. That should be your prayer. You're so big. You're so, you're so awesome. And you start dancing around the room that he's so awesome. Point is this. If you think getting together in a circle and saying, we need to pray more, we need to pray more, we need to fast more, we need to pray more, is going to be the answer, it's not. What's going to be the answer is allowing God to be as big as he is. So that when you pray, you say, God, you're a big God. Oh, wow, you're awesome. You are amazing. And start worshiping him. Your prayer becomes much more than prayer, a thing that you do. It becomes an expression of your heart. The same thing with fasting. If we're just fasting to get close to God, just, I repent. I repent of thinking that it's going to be fasting alone that gets me there. My heart has to be open to letting you be a big God. So when people don't come for fasting times, what's that say? Either their God is huge, or they need no fasting, or their God is huge and they don't want to encourage anybody else that's fasting to get God to be big. They're only thinking of themselves. I'm not always here at fasting to make God big for me. I'm here at fasting times when we gather together after the fasts to encourage others to have a big God. It's not just for us individuals. Isn't it true? It's supposed to be, we're connected. And so you don't show up for certain things. No one has to be at everything in front line. There's too many things. What I'm saying is, if it's your habit not to show up for certain kinds of things, maybe you haven't thought about, hey, I could be an encouragement because my God's so big, I don't need fasting, but since he is so big, I'll go and encourage those that do need a bigger God. Wouldn't that be a way to look at it? Got quiet again. Hey, this is supposed to be fun. I'm just throwing some things out. Honestly, I'm not upset with anyone. Throwing some things out for us to consider. For you to feel a part of this body, you have to take a responsibility over someone else in this body. So some of you don't take any responsibility over anybody other than yourself. And so you're in and out, you flit, flit, float, float, you know, might go to 10 different places. Foo, 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 foo. Flit around. And you know, oh, they didn't. That was a good sermon that week, but that one was bad. Okay, I'll go to this place. And there's no connection. There's no family in your life. And you say, gee, I can't understand why, we're not connected with anybody. Plant somewhere. Doesn't have to be here. Don't be a tumbleweed. Plant. Be willing to take responsibility over the people sitting next to you. I'm saying this with a smile. When he says, I planted, Apollos watered, and God brought the increase, Paul had already planted and watered Apollos so that he could give his watering. Some of you have been watered. fertilized by people in this body. Faith has been splashed on you. Revelation has been splashed on you. Part of allowing your God to be so big is saying, gee, even that person could bring me revelation. I get to speak at you from up here, but when I speak to you individually, oftentimes the revelation that comes out of you to me changes things in me. I don't just look to change things in you by something God has given me to give you. I look for what he's going to say out of your mouth that's going to change something in me. What revelation is he going to bring? And that's why you see these little, you know, I kind of smile, I kind of, you know, maybe, you know, make reaction because my heart is getting hit by something you're saying. Something I could step into more and believe God is bigger. Some of you pray for people I probably wouldn't pray for. And I hear your testimony of it, and I go, wow, I could step into that more. That's the way it's supposed to be. And so you need to take that responsibility with people in the body. It's not just you coming here and individually taking up a little seat. Take responsibility for someone here. The person you're talking to. Relate to people when you're here. Boy, we're already staying until 4 or 5 o'clock sometimes. You know, we say, okay, everyone can go home for church now. From church now. Okay, you can leave. Okay, you can leave. All right, let's go. Hey, whoa, hey, anybody want to leave? And sometimes you're still engaging one another. That's a good thing. But those that haven't been part of that or don't desire that or always have something else to do and are not sowing into other people in here, let me encourage you to do that. Or somewhere else. I'm not saying this is the only place on the planet, but find your spot. Hook in. Become part of the watering. Become part of the fertilizing. Become part of letting people's mustard seeds grow. And before long, you're going to look at yourself as, gosh, I'm ministering to people. How'd that happen? Things are going to come out of your mouth that you didn't plan. And they're going to bring life. So, Father, I'm asking, now that I've rambled on and on, searching for that holy ground of revelation, but my heart is full, and this is an ongoing discussion, ongoing revelation, that a mustard seed of faith in a big God is much better than great faith in a small God. Thank you, Lord, we celebrate our mustard seed. We thank you for growing it. But Lord, we're going to concentrate on how big you are, not how much we're growing in faith. We're going to tell everybody we know you're a big God. When they give us a problem, we're not going to be shocked at the size of the problem. We're going to be encouraged by the size of you. And we're going to speak life to them, Lord. Thank you, God. You're great. You're mighty. We're just getting used to it. We should have been a long time ago. But we're going to allow you to be as big as you are. We give you praise. We thank you, Lord, for every person here and how they love you, how they want more from you. And you are the one to deliver. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.